League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Welcome back, everyone. It is Monday, July 31st, 2017. I hope you guys had nice, enjoyable weekends. It was absolutely gorgeous here in Green Bay, so when the Packers hit the field for their first padded practice on Saturday, it was perfect conditions, upper 70s, maybe low 80s, nice and sunny, and the same weather carried through to the rest of the weekend. Yesterday, Sunday, was the very first off day of training camp, which means that I actually got a little bit of sleep, which was nice. These 7:45 a.m. Mike McCarthy press conferences are not very friendly if you like to sleep beyond 6 o'clock, and so it was nice to be able to not set an alarm Saturday evening to go to sleep and just basically hang around in bed and be a little bit of a zombie on Sunday morning. But now it's Monday, and the Packers will be back on the field in a few minutes for their second padded practice of training camp. And boy, things got off to a quick start the other day. My name is Michael Cohen, and this is the Packers Podcast. We thank you so very much for listening. I took a look at some of the numbers on Sunday in terms of listeners through the first week of this daily format, and it was off the charts. It was more than anything I could have expected, and it was right on par, if not a little bit higher than the average listeners that we had with Bob and I over the last calendar year. So it seems like you guys are enjoying it. I've gotten, like I said, lots of nice emails and tweets and suggestions, and we may have a little surprise for you later in the week. So be sure to keep tuning in every Monday through Friday, and we'll catch you up on all the news, all the notes, all the nuggets that you need to stay on top of the 2017 Green Bay Packers. Now, let's jump into the very first padded practice, which was Saturday morning, 8:15 Central Time here in Green Bay. It was a whopper of a practice. Mike McCarthy went 2 hours and 39 minutes, which is about as long as he will possibly go under any conditions. I mean, that is a lot of contact for these guys in the very first day of pads. And for reference, the first couple practices were 2 hours and 15 minutes and 2 hours and 22 minutes, if I remember correctly. So not only was this the longest, but it was also the first padded practice, which meant tons and tons and tons of contact for these guys after several months without the pads. So that was really interesting to see. And of course, attention focus once again on the running backs. This is the unit that in many ways could determine the success of the offense. Now, I know that the Packers did not have much of a running game last year, but the offense obviously still had success down the stretch, due in large part to the tremendous performances of Aaron Rodgers and some really, really inspired play by Jordy Nelson, some big steps forward by Geronimo Allison, and Davante Adams really becoming, you know, that number two consistent target there on the perimeter. So, can you succeed without a running game? Yes, but as all of you know who follow the Packers for a number of years, Mike McCarthy loves him some running game, and the numbers might not always reflect that in terms of carries per game or the amount of times that his running backs touch the ball in general, but McCarthy really, really wants to start every year the same way, which is establishing some sort of a running game. And if you go back to the two best seasons of Eddie Lacy's career, it's the type of offense where when the running game gets going, it just makes the talents of Aaron Rodgers even more indefensible, if you want to call it that, because the element of surprise is there almost every time, you know, Rodgers drops back. Whereas this past season, when he's throwing 35, 40, 45, 50 times a game, even if you can't necessarily stop it, the defense has had a general idea of what was coming. And so if there is an opportunity where Rodgers makes a slight mistake, or if a receiver runs a poor route or trips or whatever the case may be, it's easier for the defense to make a jump on it and maybe make some sort of a play, force a fumble, grab an interception, you know, something like that to turn the tide. Whereas if there is a true balance between run and pass, and then the play action is mixed in there as well, that can be just a beast of a problem for any defense around the league. I don't care which secondary and which front seven you're talking about. So why do I bring this all up? Because McCarthy really dedicated a large portion of Saturday's practice to the running backs. And it started with the ferocious, volatile, and unbelievably physical one-on-one blitz pickup drill. And I think I mentioned this in a previous podcast. This is a drill that we don't get to see very often during training camp. And I think last year, I was talking to Bob McGinn about it when I saw him, I don't know, a week ago or so. I think they only ran it one time when we could see it, the media and the fans. And the reason for that is because it can really cause some injuries, honestly. I mean, there's no doubt it's a valuable drill, and I'll get to why it's so valuable in a second. But the schematics of it are, they lend themselves to some real serious collisions over and over again. So what is this drill all about? Basically, picture two lines of people separated by about 5 to 7 yards. And in one line, you have all the inside linebackers who are standing behind, like, cones or pillars, things that simulate an offensive line. So they've got the gaps that they can run through set up by these cones, these flags, these poles, whatever items the Packers choose to use. And so the linebackers can then run downhill through various gaps to simulate different types of blitzes and blitzes from different angles. And then in the other line, the receiving line, so to speak, are all the running backs and fullbacks. And these guys are starting out as if they were in the backfield next to quarterback Aaron Rodgers or behind quarterback Aaron Rodgers if he's under center. And basically, the running backs charge forward and the linebackers charge forward, and there is a smash of one player against another because it's the running back's job to try and pick up the blitz and prevent that player from getting to Rodgers, from causing a fumble, to sacking Rodgers, whatever the case may be. And it's the linebacker's job to either bull straight through the running back with a bull rush, just hands straight through the chest and plow you back as far as he can, or to put on some type of a move. We saw some jukes, some spins, all kinds of different stuff. And so it's just a really fascinating drill for both sides. For the linebackers, they get to work on some pass rush techniques that we don't necessarily see them employ a whole lot, because generally it's the outside linebackers that are coming on significant blitzes and rushing the passer and things like that, whereas the inside linebackers are brought less frequently, and so it's not a skill that they necessarily get to practice day in and day out. And then for the running backs, it is as demanding of a drill as you can possibly have in terms of picking up blitzes and finding out if you are capable, and the coach is finding out if you are capable of embracing the physical challenge, number one, and then two, withstanding the physical challenge. Because you can look at guys at a number of different positions, whether it's tight end, receiver, running back. All those players are going to be asked to block at some point in time throughout a football game. And there are a lot of guys across the league that are more than willing, happy to engage in that. And a perfect example of that is Jared Cook from last year. Jared Cook never turned down an opportunity to block. He was not shying away from contact. He was not, you know, just bumping guys and letting them go through because he didn't want to, you know, absorb a blow or anything like that. He was happy to stick his nose in there. The only problem was he wasn't a very good blocker. And so even if you're a willing blocker, you have to know what you're doing, and you have to have the talent and the power in your stance and the base and the ability to anchor to withstand, you know, these oncoming blitzers, or push forward if you're blocking somebody in the running game. And Jared Cook just did not have that side of it. He was more than willing to do it. He just wasn't very good at it. And so with these running backs, you know, first and foremost, you want to see who's willing to stick their nose in there. And second of all, you want to see who is going to be the most capable of protecting Aaron Rodgers. Now, why does Mike McCarthy put such a premium on this drill? Well, the first and most obvious thing is that you want to protect the quarterback. Anytime a running back is in the game and it's their responsibility to pick up an oncoming rusher, the primary reason or the primary importance behind that job is, of course, making sure that nobody slams into Aaron Rodgers either from the front or the back and can, you know, injure your quarterback. That sort of goes without saying. But the secondary The secondary purpose behind this drill and behind really dedicating a lot of time to figuring out who your most complete running backs are has to do with the no-huddle offense that the Packers run. So you can see times throughout a football game where the Packers will, you know, huddle up, they will discuss the play, they'll go up to the line of scrimmage, they'll let the clock run down, and then they'll snap the ball, the play will be run, rinse and repeat, same thing. There's not really a ton of urgency in the situation is essentially what I'm trying to describe to you. Other times you'll see the Packers sprint to the line of scrimmage, snap the ball, run up to the line of scrimmage again, snap it again, and try and catch the defense either off guard or catch them substituting to draw a penalty. All these different things that Aaron Rodgers has become incredibly good at over the years. And so the ability by running backs to be functional as blockers has a lot to do with this no-huddle offense. And, you know, it's not something that I necessarily thought about until McCarthy really laid it out for us a couple times. And basically what he's saying is that if you have a running back that can be out there on first, second, and third down, in other words, they can run the ball, they can catch the ball, and they can block, then you don't need to substitute. And you have the ability to access this no-huddle offense anytime you want. It could be third down and all of a sudden you want to go no huddle. It could be first down and you want to go no huddle. You could go no huddle for three plays and then slow it down and then speed it up again. But the bottom line is that if you have a player that doesn't need to be substituted, then you have so much more ability to play with tempo and manufacture tempo because you don't need to worry about exchanging personnel. So that was a long way of explaining the importance of this drill. And now let's talk about the drill itself. Well, Mike McCarthy planted himself right in the middle of these collisions and a few yards away from them. So essentially, if you picture two sides of a sandwich coming together, McCarthy was standing right where the filling would be and off to the side so that he could look right at the point of attack and see what was happening as these guys collided with each other. And the first thing he saw was Ty Montgomery completely whiff on Blake Martinez. And so I'm sure just for a split second there was a sinking feeling in McCarthy's stomach because his number one running back, very first chance he gets, just completely misses. Now, of course, in the big scheme of things, one misfire on the very first padded practice is insignificant. But I just think that it was an inauspicious start for anybody. And really, Montgomery sort of struggled overall. I think he took 5 reps, if my notes are correct, and he ended up losing his first 3 and then coming back and winning his last 2. And after practice, Montgomery basically said, you know, I'm not going to apologize for being poor or subpar or a little bit less than quality at pass protection right now because it's not something I've ever been asked to do before. So to expect me to be perfect from the very first padded practice is A, unfair to me, and B, unrealistic. And he's absolutely right. And so it's really going to be about progression for him, as it is for all the guys. I mean, Aaron Ripkowski was the top fullback last year, and he struggled yesterday, unofficially losing or stalemating all 3 of his reps. Joe Carriage, the backup fullback that was a key special teams player, had a really strong day. He was undefeated by my grading system in the blitz pickup drill, and he also had a tremendous day from scrimmage, just really clearing out the hole and bashing linebackers, and he was very impressive. So on this particular day, Carriage got the better of Aaron Ripkowski. So you can see that there's going to be an ebb and flow to all these positions. Guys can have great days, average days, poor days, and the next day, everything can change. And then last but not least, I'd like to touch briefly on Jamal Williams, the rookie 4th-round pick from BYU. He wasn't necessarily poor or great in the pass protection drill, but his explanation of the drill afterward in the locker room really gives you an idea of what this task is all about. Williams basically said that during his freshman year at BYU, he absolutely hated having to pick up blitzes and block for people. He thought it was uncomfortable. He didn't like it. It was foreign to him. It was not easy. And then he said as his career went along and he started to learn the techniques and understand what you need to do to succeed in this drill, he actually started to embrace it because it's an opportunity where, if done properly, it's really the running back issuing the blow to an oncoming rusher. It's not about absorbing. It's not about a guy standing still and just being able to anchor and withstand any contact that comes his way. Instead, the proper technique, according to running backs coach Ben Sermons, is to drive your legs forward at all times. Keep your feet moving so that when you make contact with somebody else, you're not going to risk absorbing the blow and falling backwards because your legs were stationary. Instead, you're going to be grinding and driving forward so that you can issue the blow and it stops the momentum of the oncoming rusher. So that's something to keep an eye on throughout camp, because given the inexperience at the running back position, I have a feeling that this drill might be a little more prevalent than it was in recent years. Let's stick with the running backs for a second. Because once the team got into their 11-on-11 drills, the running game was off the charts when the first team offensive line was in there. So from left to right, you look at left tackle David Bakhtiari, left guard Lane Taylor, center Corey Linsley, who is back now after offseason ankle surgery, right guard Jahri Evans, the free agent brought in to replace TJ Lang, and right tackle Brian Bulaga. When those guys were in there for 11-on-11 drills, they were opening holes left, right, middle, just gaping avenues for Montgomery, who was the number one running back, and Jamal Williams, who was the number two running back. Those guys had a field day just slicing through the line of scrimmage, almost unimpeded at full speed, so that by the time they got to the second level, they were just carrying a large head of steam. And there were times where McCarthy absolutely lit into the defense because they were just getting manhandled by this first team offensive line. So that is a very good sign that Jahri Evans and Lane Taylor, you know, guys that really need to have big seasons and for different reasons, they seem to be mixing in beautifully, and the chemistry up front was really strong, and of course just the overwhelming physical nature of that first offensive line was absolutely evident in the very first padded practice. And there's no question that those guys got the better of Mike Daniels, LaTroy Guyon, Kenny Clark, Dean Lowry, all these big guys in the trenches, you know, on the opposite side of the line of scrimmage. The offense really, really won that first day decisively. Now, the second string offensive line was a totally different story. Once you brought in some of the backups, and you're talking about Don Barclay, you're talking about Lucas Patrick, Kyle Murphy, Jason Spriggs, all these guys that, with the exception of Barclay, are pretty young, there was nowhere for the running backs to go. And as the practice went on, you saw two players on defense really assert themselves in the running game in terms of showing up around the football, slicing into the backfield, and really delivering some impressive shots. The first one was rookie safety Josh Jones. Now, when you look at Josh Jones, who was a second-round pick from North Carolina State, he is essentially the same size when you look at the eye test as inside linebacker Joe Thomas. I mean, this is a guy that is every bit of about 225, 230 pounds. He's built, he's muscular, and he is the fastest player on defense now, having run 4.41 seconds in the 40-yard dash. And so Jones is being used in a number of different places. Of course, he's being used as a traditional safety at times, but he's also being used as essentially an inside linebacker, or a guy that the Packers really want to free up to make plays all around the field. So he's moving closer to the box and lining up next to guys like Joe Thomas or Jake Ryan, you know, these traditional inside linebackers. And so Jones was just a whirlwind of aggression, really, slicing into the backfield, making tackles for losses. Even when the ball crossed the line of scrimmage, he was finding ways to end up at the ball carrier. It was just really impressive for a guy that, you know, you hear the phrase nose to the football, or has a nose for the football, and it seems like that is 100% applicable to a guy like Josh Jones. And then the second guy was Joe Thomas. You know, the inside linebacker position has really been an area of contention for the last few years for the Packers, and you know, Joe Thomas has really put a stranglehold on this number one inside linebacker position. He's taking far more reps than Jake Ryan, who is second in terms of the amount of reps taken over the first couple days of camp. And Blake Martinez, the fourth round pick from a year ago, is almost nowhere to be seen. I mean, he is taking very, very few reps. He is buried on the depth chart, you know, behind Joe Thomas, behind Jake Ryan. And then also when guys like Josh Jones and Morgan Burnett move into inside linebacker, you're talking about having Blake Martinez sometimes behind those guys. So it sort of shows you that the staff is a little bit down on him right now in terms of his ability, and instead it's Joe Thomas. And for a guy that is the smallest of those three traditional inside linebackers, he's smaller than Jake Ryan and smaller than Blake Martinez, he really packs a punch. And you know, I remember talking to Jayron Elliott last year, another outside linebacker for the Packers. I think he said that Joe Thomas's nickname is Bullet or something like that. Some sort of violent nickname, because for a guy that's in a small package, he's really able to unleash a blow. And that was pretty impressive. One of the areas that I had asked you guys to keep an eye on in my Storylines podcast, which came out before the start of training camp, was to look at who's going to be the punt returners and kick returners. And we still don't really have a good idea of what they want to do with the kick return position, although that's a topic I want to discuss probably another day this week, because I did see something a little bit interesting there. But at the punt return spot, you've basically got two guys that are battling for it right now. You have Trevor Davis, who was a fifth-round pick a year ago and handled that responsibility at times last year before he muffed a punt in the sun against Tennessee and then was essentially benched for the rest of the season. And then you've got Randall Cobb, the veteran wide receiver who has also returned punts at times throughout his career and has been pretty effective. I think that if the Packers had their druthers, they would like to see Trevor Davis come out and win this job. And that's not because they don't like Randall Cobb returning punts in terms of the production that he gives them, but because Randall Cobb is so wiry and so lithe and so skinny, this is a guy that can really absorb a lot of damage returning punts. And he told the media that he had never gotten injured returning punts before in the NFL, that all of his injuries had taken place at wide receiver. And by and large, that was true. But he did suffer an ankle injury returning a punt back a few years ago. And so, you know, there is at least one instance of him suffering an injury returning punts. And of course, that's a cause for concern when his primary job is receiver and catching the football. Trevor Davis, of course, has an extremely similar body type to Randall Cobb. In fact, you could probably argue that he's a little bit leaner. He's also a little bit taller, but you know, he doesn't have the thickness that Randall Cobb has, you know, built up over the years in terms of muscle and definition and things like that. But the reason why I think they want Davis to win this job is, A, he's a little bit faster than Cobb in terms of pure speed, and B, he's also a guy that is probably going to have a significantly smaller role on offense unless something drastic changes over the next few weeks. So you want a guy back there that can be a little bit more of a specialist and can focus solely on punt returns or kick returns or whatever the case may be. And that way, if that person does suffer an injury, because those two plays, punt return and kick return, are some of the most violent in the game, you don't have to worry about losing a vital contributor on offense, which would be the case with Cobb, because he tends to play an extremely high number of snaps. So the early returns, actually, though, are that Davis has been struggling. He muffed a punt again without facing a rush. You know, Justin Vogel, the rookie, just boomed a kick. There were a bunch of guys back there taking turns fielding them with nobody around them, and Davis muffed one in front of the coaches. You could hear him curse a little bit, because he knows those are the types of mistakes that you just can't afford. And Cobb has looked pretty steady. So I don't know what's going to play out there, but I know that Randall Cobb wants the job. He told the media bluntly, frankly, honestly, that he wants this job and that he's asked to have this job in the past couple seasons, which was actually a little bit of a surprise. But even if the coaches don't want him back there, Cobb wants that opportunity. And based on the very, very early returns, and again, these are by no means concrete judgments, because there are many, many weeks and many, many practices left to go before the regular season. But so far, Trevor Davis seems to be struggling in the same way that he struggled last season, which ultimately led to his benching. And before I let you go here, we've crossed the 20-minute mark. This is the longest of the daily episodes so far, and I apologize for that. I want to just update you guys quickly on the injury report, so that if any of you guys were not paying attention to social media or didn't have a chance to take a look at our website, JSOnline or PackersNews.com, that you're up to date on who's having some issues there. So Trevor Davis actually dropped out of practice on Saturday after jumping up, trying to make a catch and falling awkwardly. But he said it was essentially just a stinger, like if you hit your funny bone and you get that tingling sensation up and down your arm for a minute or two. That was basically what happened to him, and he said he's going to be fine. So expect to see him out on the field later today for Monday's practice. Herb Waters, a cornerback that was pushing toward a roster spot on the back end of the quarterback depth chart, he had a shoulder injury during OTAs and minicamp that sidelined him for, you know, the ending portion of spring practices. And McCarthy said that Waters injured his shoulder again in the first non-padded practice. Excuse me, the second non-padded practice. So this would have been let's see, camp started on Thursday, so this would have been Friday that Waters hurt himself, dropped out at the very end, and then did not practice on Saturday. So that's something to keep an eye on because, you know, shoulder injuries, depending on what they are, can become a little bit chronic if it's a dislocation type situation. You've seen athletes in a lot of sports where their shoulders just continue to pop out over and over again. Now, I don't know if that's the case with Waters, but it's certainly something to keep an eye on. Martellus Bennett went down briefly at practice over the weekend, and you know, then he popped right back up after getting some attention from the trainers, came back onto the field and finished practice, and he called it quote-unquote football stuff. But for a moment there, it was a little concerning for coaches and Packers fans because Bennett went down in a non-contact situation and grabbed at his leg a little bit and then, you know, limped off with the trainer, got retaped or whatever he needed to get done there to his shoes, ankles, equipment, etc., and then came back onto the field and said he was fine. And then lastly, third-round pick rookie Montrevious Adams, a defensive lineman from Auburn, he did not practice Saturday, which was, again, the first padded practice. He has a foot injury. We have not heard from Mike McCarthy yet in terms of the severity of that injury, and that's something we will find out about later today, Monday morning, when Mike McCarthy has his pre-practice press conference. So, I have overstayed my welcome on this shorter daily version of the Packers podcast, but I thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you enjoy today's episode and another full week, Monday through Friday, of Packers podcasts. My name is Michael Cohen, and I will see you guys tomorrow.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 30% off paints and stains July 18th through the 28th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.